Hello, and welcome to Radio Eye's Children's Story Hour. As a reminder, Radio Eye is a reading service intended for people who are blind or have other disabilities that make it read printed material. Today, we will be reading from various children's books. Your reader today is Miss Francis. We will start with the book titled The Story of Toby. It was published by Rand McNally, has a copyright date of 1950, and was written by Jane Shearer Moore. The Story of Toby. Toby lived with his mother and father, and his aunts and uncles, and his friends and playmates in a beautiful green meadow. Back of the meadow, in a big house, lived the farmer, the farmer's wife, the farmer's son, and the hired man. Toby was a lucky little colt. He had green grass and clover to eat. He had the morning sun to keep him warm. The soft spring rain kept Toby clean, and it was such fun to splash in puddles. The moon and the stars were Toby's nightlights, so he could see his mother and father always near. But with all these things, Toby wasn't happy. He wanted to be somebody, but he was just a little colt. Toby's mother loved him and told him not to worry, for someday he would be a fine big horse, too. But Toby still worried. It seemed to him that all his friends in the meadow were somebody. In the meadow, they talked of the time before they had come to the farm to live. Some had won ribbons and prizes in horse shows, or silver cups in races, and some had danced proudly in circus rings. Among all his wonderful friends, Toby felt he was nobody, just a little brown colt. Oh, if only he could be a horse of a different color! Then they would notice him. Today he would do something about it. He sat down to think. He looked at the green grass. Maybe if he rolled in it, it would rub off. Then he would be green. My, but a green horse would be something to see. So he rolled and he rolled and he rolled and he rolled and he rolled until his long legs would hardly hold him up when he stood up. Surely now he was a beautiful green color. So he ran to the brook to see. He turned and twisted to look at himself, but no, he was still the same little brown Toby. That evening, after supper, Toby sat down to think again. The sun was setting and the sky was red and pink and gold. As Toby looked, he thought, maybe if he stood very still, those bright colors overhead would make him red and pink and gold, too. So he stood, and he stood, and he stood, and he stood, and he stood. And sure enough, when he looked down, his legs did look just a little bit pink. Toby lay down very carefully, so as not to brush off the colors, and went sound asleep. That night he dreamed happily of pink and gold horses prancing on the clouds. The next morning, just as the sun came up, Toby jumped up to look at himself. He was so disappointed. His legs were no longer pink. He was just the same little brown colt he had been the day before. Toby sat down to think some more. Suddenly he heard a noise. He trotted up to the fence to see what it was. Why, they were painting the barn a most beautiful red color. Oh, if he could just be that color, too. Toby watched and watched, and suddenly he had an idea. He waited until the sun was high and the men went into the house for dinner. Then he ran to the freshly painted barn. He rubbed his one side against the barn, then the other side, and then his head and both ears. And, just to be sure, he stepped each of his 4 feet into a bucket of paint. Sure enough, Toby was now a beautiful, brilliant red, a horse of a different color. How happy he was! He galloped over to show his mother. She whinnied in surprise. All the other horses rushed to see what was the trouble. They began to whinny, too. Then Toby began to feel very strange indeed. The paint stung his eyes and burned his skin. He was miserable. The farmer, the farmer's wife, the farmer's son, and the hired man all heard all the horses and came running. Poor Toby! Something must be done for him. So the farmer and the farmer's wife and the hired man scraped him and scrubbed him and brushed him. The farmer's son brought more brushes and soap and water and turpentine. By the time the sun was setting, Toby was his little brown self again. And Toby was happy again. He was the happiest colt in the whole world. He no longer wanted to be a horse of a different color. He wanted to be just himself. The end. I'm glad Toby decided in the story that he was fine just the way he was. He didn't need to change himself. He was already perfect. The next story I'd like to read is called Song and Dance Man. It was published by Alfred A. Koft, has a copyright date of 1988, and was written by Karen Ackerman. The Song and Dance Man. Grandpa was a song and dance man who once danced on the vaudeville stage. When we visit, he tells us about a time before people watched TV, back in the good old days, the song and dance days. Supper in an hour, Grandma calls from the kitchen. I wonder if my tap shoes still fit, Grandpa says with a smile. Then he turns on the light to the attic, and we follow him up the steep wooden steps. Faded posters of Grandpa when he was young hang on the walls. He moves some cardboard boxes and a rack of Grandma's winter dresses out of the way, and we see a dusty brown, leather-trimmed trunk in the corner. As soon as Grandpa opens it, the smell of cedar chips and old things saved fills the attic. Inside are his shoes with the silver half-moon taps on the toes and heels, bowler hats and top hats, and vest with stripes and matching bow ties. We try on the hats and pretend we're dancing on a vaudeville stage, where the bright lights twinkle and the piano player nods his head along with the music. After wiping his shoes with a cloth he calls a chamois, Grandpa puts them on. He tucks small white pads inside the shoes so his corns won't rub, and he turns on the lamps and aims each one down like a spotlight. He sprinkles a little powder on the floor, and it's showtime. We sit on one of Grandma's woolen blankets, clap our hands, and call out, "Yay, Grandpa!" The song and dance man begins to dance the old soft shoe. His feet move slowly at first, while his tap shoes make soft, slippery sands like rain on a tin roof. We forget that it's Grandpa dancing, and all we can hear is the silvery tap of 2 feet. And all we can see is a song and dance man gliding across a vaudeville stage. He says, "Watch this," and does a new step that sounds like a woodpecker tapping on a tree. Suddenly, his shoes move faster, and he begins to sing. His voice is as round and strong as a canyon echo, and his cheeks get rosy as he sings "Yankee Doodle Boy," a song he knows from the good old days. There are too many dance steps and too many words in the song for us to remember, but the show is better than any show on TV. The song and dance man stops and leans forward with a wink. "What's that in your ear?" he asks, and he pulls a silver dollar out of somebody's hair. He rolls his bowler hat down his arm, catches it in his hand, and flips it back up onto his head. "Know how to make an elephant float?" he asks. "One scoop of ice cream, two squirts of soda, and three scoops of elephant." We've heard that joke before, but the song and dance man slaps his knee and laughs until his eyes water. He tries to wipe them with a red hanky from his vest pocket, but the hanky just gets longer and longer as he pulls it out. He looks so surprised that we start laughing too, and it feels like the whole attic is shaking. Sometimes we laugh so hard, the hiccups start, and Grandpa stops to bring us a glass of water from the bathroom. "Drink slow and hold your breath," he says, "or I'll have to scare you." Once our hiccups are gone, he gets a gold-tipped cane and a black silk top hat from the trunk. He lowers his eyes and tips the hat, and he's standing very still. All the lights are turned low except one that shines on his polished tap shoes. It's the grand finale. So the song and dance man takes a deep breath. He lifts the cane and holds it in both hands. And slowly he starts to tap. His shoes move faster and faster, and the sounds coming from them are too many to make with only 2 feet. He spins and jumps into the air, touching the stage again. He kneels with his arms spread out, and the silk top hat and gold-tipped cane lie side by side at his feet. His shoes are still, and the show is over. We stand up together and clap our hands, shouting, "Hooray!" and more. But Grandpa only smiles and shakes his head, all out of breath. He takes off his tap shoes, wraps them gently in the chamois cloth, and puts them back in the leather-trimmed trunk. He carefully folds his vest and lays the top hat and cane on it, and we follow him to the stairway. Grandpa holds on to the rail as we go down the steps. At the bottom, he hugs us, and we tell him we wish we could have seen him dance in the good old days, the song and dance days. He smiles and whispers that he wouldn't trade a million good old days for the days he spends with us. But as he turns off the attic light, Grandpa glances back up the stairs, and we wonder how much he really misses that time on the vaudeville stage when he was a song and dance man. The end. While I was reading, I was wondering if you've ever seen anyone perform a tap dance with tap shoes on. It's really something to see those shoes and hear them tapping on the stage floor. The next book I'd like to read is called Weekend with Wendell. It was published by Green Willow Books, has a copyright date of 1986, and was written by Kevin Hinkes. Weekend with Wendell. On Friday afternoon, Wendell's parents dropped him off at Sophie's house. "Wendell's going to spend the weekend with us," said Sophie's mother, "while his parents visit relatives out of town." "Oh, boy," said Wendell. Sophie didn't say anything. After a snack, Sophie helped Wendell carry his sleeping bag and suitcase upstairs. "Well, what are we going to do now?" asked Wendell. Do you have any toys? Sophie pointed to her toy chest. Is that all you've got? Said Wendell. I've got a million times more than that. What else is there to do around here? We could play house, said Sophie. Only if I can make the rules, said Wendell. So they played house, and Wendell made the rules. He was the father, the mother, and the five children. Sophie was the dog. Then they played hospital. Wendell was the doctor, the nurse, and the patient. Sophie was the desk clerk. When they pretended they worked at a bakery, Wendell was the baker, and Sophie was a sweet roll. Isn't this fun? Said Wendell. Sophie didn't say anything. At dinner, Wendell said that he was allergic to anything green, so he didn't have to eat his vegetables. And then, when Sophie wasn't looking, he scooped the whipped cream off her dessert. When is Wendell leaving? Whispered Sophie. Soon, said her mother. Soon, said her father. After Sophie's parents tucked Sophie in her bed, zipped Wendell in his sleeping bag, kissed them both, and turned off the light, Wendell grabbed his flashlight and shone it right in Sophie's eyes. See you tomorrow, he said, smiling. Sophie shut her eyes. I can't wait for Wendell to go home, she said to herself. On Saturday morning, when Sophie woke up, there was a lumpy blue monster jumping up and down on her bed. It was Wendell, zipped up in his sleeping bag. She felt something pinch her leg at breakfast under the table. It was Wendell. She heard scary noises coming from the broom closet. It was Wendell. Wendell used Sophie's crayons and left them on the porch so they melted. At lunch, Wendell finger-painted with his peanut butter and jelly. Isn't this fun? Said Wendell. Sophie didn't say anything. When is Wendell leaving? Whispered Sophie. Soon, said her mother, and soon, said her father. At bedtime, when Sophie put her head on her pillow, she heard something crunch. It was a note from Wendell. It said, See you tomorrow. Sophie shut her eyes. I can't wait for Wendell to go home, she said to herself. And Wendell had drawn a picture of Sophie running and scared, and Wendell had Dracula teeth. So that was kind of a scary note to leave her. Before Wendell's parents picked him up on Sunday morning, he tried to make a long-distance call. He wrote his name on the bathroom mirror with toothpaste. And he gave Sophie a brand new hairdo with shaving cream. Want to go outside to help me wash this off? Asked Sophie. We could play firefighter. Oh boy, said Wendell. So they played firefighter, and Sophie made the rules. She was the fire chief. Wendell was the burning building. She took the hose and squirted him and squirted him. Isn't this fun? Said Sophie. Wendell didn't say anything. Do I get to be the fire chief? Asked Wendell. Maybe, said Sophie. Soon, Wendell and Sophie didn't care who was the fire chief or who was the burning building. Time to go, said Sophie's mother. Time to go, said Sophie's father. Already? Said Wendell. Already? Said Sophie. When is Wendell coming back? Asked Sophie. Never, said her mother. Never, said her father. That afternoon, when Wendell unpacked his suitcase, he heard something crunch. It was a note from Sophie. It said, I hope I see you soon. The end. I was wondering while I was reading that is if you've ever had anyone stay at your house that maybe did a few things that they probably shouldn't. The next story I'd like to read is called The Berenstain Bears and the Attic Treasure. It was published by S. and Jane Berenstain, has a copyright date of 1990, and was written by Stan and Jan Berenstain. The Berenstain Bears and the Attic Treasure. The bear family was spending a quiet evening at home in the big tree house at the edge of the forest deep in bear country. Papa Bear was reading the paper. Mama Bears was looking at the latest issue of Tree Housekeeping magazine. And Brother and Sister Bear were playing a game. "Here's an interesting idea," said Mama, showing Papa a feature in the magazine. The headline said, "Convert your gloomy, cluttered attic into a lovely family room." "Very interesting," agreed Papa, looking at the before and after pictures. "Our attic sure is cluttered," said Brother. "And gloomy," agreed Sister. Up the stairs they went to the seldom visited room at the top of the treehouse. As they looked into the gloom and clutter, boxes piled on boxes, strange shapes leaning against other strange shapes. They pictured a neat, clean, cozy new room. "Let's do it," said Mama. "Let's get rid of this mess and have a lovely family room." "But what will we do with all this junk?" asked Papa. "We'll have a yard sale," Mama said. "Hey, terrific," he said. "We'll turn this worthless junk into cash." "Super," said Brother. "Super duper," agreed Sister. The next day, the Bear family went to work on the project. Papa made a big sign which said, "Big yard sale tomorrow at 2 o'clock. "It'll be so nice having a family room up here," said Mama, as she began rummaging through the box piled on boxes. "And think of all the money we'll make," said Papa, as he began looking through an old chest of drawers. "I wonder how much we'll get for this piece of junk," he added, dusting off an old cracked honey pot. "That piece of junk happens to be one of our first wedding presents," said Mama, taking it and tenderly putting it aside. "What are these funny old pictures?" asked Brother, as he and Sister looked through a dusty photo album. "Those funny pictures, young fellow," said Papa Bear, "just happen to be your mother's and my wedding pictures." It was true. There were Mama and Papa all dressed up as a bride and a groom. Brother and Sister were very impressed. But Sister was a little puzzled, too. "Where were we?" she wanted to know as she looked through the album. "We weren't born yet, silly," explained Brother. "Oh," she said, then changing the subject, asked, "Hey, what's this?" "That's my old hula hoop," said Brother. "Here, I'll show you how to do it." But he couldn't get it going. He had lost the knack. Sister turned out to be a hula hoop whiz. "We can't sell this. It's terrific," she cried, twirling and hooping up a storm. So, one by one, it was decided that the things in the attic, the cracked honey pot, the wedding pictures, the hula hoop, weren't really junk at all. They were family treasures. And many other things as well. The framed painting of great-great-Uncle Ned, who first settled Bear Country. Papa's old baseball card collection. The trumpet Mama used to play in her school band. And the trophy Papa won for coming in second in a sack race. "Now, here are some things we could surely get rid of," said Mama Bear, pointing to a pile of baby furniture.
"But that's our baby furniture," protested Sister.
"Yeah, what if we ever have another baby?" asked Brother. "Good thinking," chuckled Papa. After a moment's thought, Mama agreed, which left the family with nothing to offer at the big yard sale. So the sale was canceled.
It turned out that the Bears didn't have to convert their attic into a family room. All it needed was a little cleaning and straightening, because it already was one. The best sort of family room a family could ever have. The end. Well, I was wondering as I read that story, if you've ever gone through things you've had stored away and decided maybe you didn't want to give them away after all. I know that I've done that a few times before. Well, I hope you enjoyed today's stories. I enjoyed reading them to you. And this concludes this installment of Radio Eye's Children's Story Hour. Please join us next time as we read more stories, fables, and fairy tales. Thank you for listening, and please stay tuned for the Lexington Herald Leader on Radio Eye.